عباد الله اللهم لا طاعة لجل محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم السيد الإنسان والمسي جعود الصنفون في ذلك فضيلة الشيخ أبو حازم محمد الحسني القاهري حفظه الله تعالى from the well-known شيوخ of سلف الدعوة in Egypt and شيخ جزاه الله خيرا has agreed to address us and share some benefits regarding the matter of the effects of sin and the destruction they bring to society. We ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to reward the Shaykh lavishly for the time he is giving and to make it beneficial for all those who are participating. And without further prolonging, we ask our Shaykh to begin for the Tafadda Shaykh wa Mashkura. Nasa Allah ala hu jazeera.
In alhamdulillah. نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار فمعنا الليلة إخوة الإسلام موضوع مهم وخطير حري بكل مسلم صادق أن يعرفه ويهتم به وهو خطورة المعاصي وسوء أثرها على جماعة المسلمين ومجتمعهم وأول ما نبدأ به إن شاء الله تعالى أن المعصية أثرها عظيم وخطير على الفرد فالمعاصي تضر المسلم أعظم الضرر وأشده فتميت قلبه وتضعف بدنه وتدمر دينه وتفسد عليه دنياه وتعرضه لغضب الله تعالى وعقوبته في الآخرة وهل أخرج الأبوين من الجنة إلا المعصية وهل جعل إبليس ملعونا مطرودا من رحمة الله إلا المعصية وهل أهلك الأمم السابقة بأشد ألوان العذاب إلا المعصية وهل يقع بلاء في الدين أو في الدنيا إلا من المعصية فالأمر بارك الله فيكم خطير ليس باليسير لا أضر على المسلم من المعاصي والذنوب ومن أراد أن يتعرف على ضررها على وجه التفصيل فليرجع إلى ما سطره علماؤنا لا سيما الإمام ابن القيم رحمه الله في كتابه العظيم الداء والدواء فإنه تعرض تفصيلا لآثار المعاصي على الإنسان وخطرها ومفاسدها فليرجع إليه من شاء. نعم.
سيدي الله الله خيرا نستعجل with a statement in need of praises to Allah. We praise Him, we seek His aid, and we ask His forgiveness, and we seek the refuge of Allah from the evils of our deeds, from the evils of ourselves, and the evils of our deeds. He whom Allah guides, none can misguide, and he whom Allah misguides, none can guide. And are there witnesses that there is no deity worthy of worship besides Allah, alone with our partners, and Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is His slave and His final message. O you who have believed, revere Allah as He truly should be revered, and do not die except in the state of Islam. O mankind, revere your Lord, the one who has created you from a single soul, and from it created its spouse, and from the both of them spread many men and women. And revere Allah, the one by whom you ask each other in fear, cutting the ties of kinship. Indeed, Allah was the watcher over you. O you who have believed, revere Allah and say upright sins. Allah will then rectify your deeds for you and forgive your sins for you. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, he has indeed won a tremendous victory. To proceed, the best of speech is the speech of Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala. And the best of guidance is that of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And the worst of affairs are those that are newly introduced into the religion. Every newly introduced affair in the religion is an innovation. And every innovation is a misguidance. And every misguidance is in the fire and hell. With us tonight is a very important topic. One that is of great danger. One that every sincere and true Muslim is behooved, or it behooves them to learn and come to recognize its importance. And this is namely the topic of the danger of sins and their deep effects upon the group of the people of Islam and upon their society. And so the first matter that we want to talk about is the danger of a sin upon an individual. Surely, sins have far-reaching consequences, ones that are tremendous, and harm a Muslim in the greatest of ways. For example, the sin will deaden his heart and will weaken his body and will destroy his religiosity and piety, and surely will bring ruin to his worldly life, and will subject him to the wrath of Allah and His punishment in the hereafter. And what is it that has expelled the parents from paradise but a sin? And what is it that caused Iblis to be cast away and banished from the mercy of Allah but a sin? And what is it that has caused the destruction and annihilation with the most severe of punishments and far-reaching destruction but their sins? And is it possible that any affliction or calamity shall befall the people in the matters of their religion or the matters of their worldly life except through the sin? Surely, the matter is a serious matter of great import, and it is not a small sin. In fact, there is nothing more harmful upon a Muslim than sin. He who wants further detail, more information about it, let him go back to that which was written by our scholars. Especially so, that which was written by Imam Ibn Qayyim rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, in that tremendous tome of knowledge, Da'u wa Dawa, Ailment and Cure. For therein, he went into great detail and specifics regarding harm and effects of sin upon mankind.
إذا عرفت هذا أيها الأخ الكريم، سهل عليك أن تعرف خطورة المعصية على جماعة المسلمين، فإن الجماعة إنما تتكون من أفراد، الفرد هو وحدة بناء المجتمع، فإذا كانت الذنوب تؤثر هذا التأثير الخطير على الفرد، فإنها لابد أن تكون خطيرة التأثير على المجتمع، فإذا تفشت المعاصي بين أفراد المجتمع، كل فرد يعمل بمعصية أو يسكت عن معصية أو يروج معصية، فإن الفساد عندئذ ينتشر ويعم. فهذا وجه مهم من الأوجه التي يتعرف بها على خطورة المعاصي على المجتمع. فالمعاصي تؤثر على الأفراد، والأفراد هم الذين يتكون منهم المجتمع، فمن خلال ذلك يعظم تأثير المعصية على المجتمع المسلم. نعم.
So if this is now established, it becomes easy to recognize that which comes afterwards, which is the matter of the danger of sins upon the group of the Muslimin and upon the society. Surely, the group of the Muslimin is simply composed of individuals. And so, the individual is the building block of the society. But if this is the effect of sins upon that which we already covered, upon an individual, then surely sins must likewise be extremely dangerous upon society. So if sins become widespread and are propagated between the people, such that every individual is sinning, or spreading a sin, or remaining quiet in the face of a sin, then surely the matter at that point is a matter of widespread havoc and destruction. So this is a very important point and piece of information by which one comes to recognize the severity and seriousness of the matter of sin and how they affect the individual and thus affect society.
ثم إننا من بعد ذلك نبين أن قوام المجتمع المسلم بالأخلاق الحميدة والسلوكيات الحسنة، وهذا هو قوام المجتمعات البشرية بشكل عام. فلا تقوم المجتمعات ولا يتحقق فيها الأمن والمصالح والاستقرار إلا من خلال الأخلاق الحميدة والسلوكيات الفاضلة. فإذا عرفت ذلك، وعرفت أن المعاصي تؤثر على هذا الأمر تأثيرا مباشرا، عرفت خطورة المسألة. فالمعاصي تلحق ضررا كبيرا بالأخلاق والسلوكيات، فإنها تتعارض مع الأخلاق الحميدة والسلوكيات الفاضلة، تجعل الإنسان ينتقل إلى ضد ذلك من الأخلاق السيئة والسلوكيات القبيحة. فإذا انتشر ذلك في المجتمع فإن هذا يؤثر عليه تأثيرا خطيرا ويجعله مجتمعا فاسدا. واعتبر مثلا بالصدق الذي هو من محاسن الأخلاق، لا يقوم المجتمع إلا بالصدق بين أفراده. فإذا انتشرت معصية تضاد الصدق وهي الكذب، إذا انتشرت هذه المعصية بين الأفراد وصارت جزءا من تعاملاتهم ومبادئهم، فإن الفساد عندئذ ينتشر ويصير عاما في المجتمع، ويكون هذا المجتمع قائما على الكذب والغش والخيانة وما أشبه ذلك، فتضيع منه الأخلاق الطيبة وتحل محلها الأخلاق السيئة. وعلى هذا فقس في سائر المعاصي والذنوب. نعم.
And then to proceed, we clarify further that surely every society survives based upon and thrives based upon their goodly manners and upright conduct. And surely this is the common thread found in every thriving society. For surely, societies do not thrive and flourish and succeed and experience widespread safety, tranquility and joy except through the establishment of goodly manners and upright conduct. If you know this, then you come to recognize the severity of the matter of sin and how dangerous it is upon the societies, how much it causes their destruction. For surely they, sins, are destroyers of goodly manners and upright conduct. For they will convert a man and change him and replace him in goodly manners with vile manners and upright conduct with evil conduct. And so if this is widespread, it surely brings great harm the society. Take for example the beautiful mannerism of truthfulness, which is from the most beautiful of manners, such that no society will become upright, successful and flourish except through permeation of truthfulness amongst its members. So if that sin which negates truthfulness becomes widespread in that society, the sin namely of lying, and it becomes a component of the dealings of people in that society with each other, then surely corruption and ruin will then spread in that society. For then you will find that the dealings of people are established upon that which contradicts and is the exact opposite of truthfulness. Their dealings are based on lying, on treachery, on deception, on trickery, on conning one another. And so the goodly manners will quickly become lost upon these people and will get replaced with vile conduct and evil behavior. And upon this example, you can build many other examples for every other goodly manner that will be replaced by a sin.
من خطورة المعاصي على المجتمع كذلك أنها تعرضه للعقوبات والبلاء، سواء كان ذلك في الدين أم في الدنيا. وهذا هو الذي اعتنت النصوص الشرعية ببيانه في الكتاب والسنة، ونحن نذكر في مقامنا هذا جملة مختصرة من هذه النصوص. فمنها في كتاب الله تعالى قول الله عز وجل: ومن أعرض عن ذكري فإن له معيشة ضنكا. يقول تعالى: ومن أعرض عن ذكري، أي أعرض عن هداي وموعظتي والحق الذي يجيء من عندي، ولا يكون ذلك إلا بالذنوب والمعاصي، فما جزاؤه؟ يقول تعالى: فإن له معيشة ضنكا. والضنك هو الضيق والشدة، والمعيشة الضنك هي المعيشة الضيقة الشديدة. فهذا هو ما يحدث للمجتمع وللفرد كذلك إذا أعرض عن ذكر الله تعالى ووقع في المعاصي والسيئات، تجد حياته في هذه الدنيا شديدة ضيقة، فيها الكثير من الابتلاءات والمحن والعقوبات، لا يجد راحة ولا طمأنينة ولا سعادة، بل ينتقل من بلاء إلى بلاء. فهذا من صور خطورة المعاصي على المجتمع من جهة المعيشة التي يعيشها في هذه الدنيا. نعم.
And likewise from the dangers of sins, that they shall take societies to punishments, tribulations, whether these are in the matters of their religion or the matters of their dunya. And this is that which is clearly shown in the text of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger. And from that we will mention a few examples. So take for example the statement of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in the book, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكًا. Who turns away from my mention, then surely for him is a life that is dunka. Shaykh explained, said, he who turns away from my mention, meaning turns away from my guidance and have revealed of my admonishment, then surely for him, meaning, is punishment would be for turning away from the truth that has come from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, meaning turning away through sins and disobedience, his punishment shall be and his repayment shall be that he will be given a life that is bunka. And a bunk means a life that is tight, a life that is difficult, a life that is narrow. So this is what happens to an individual who turns away from the mention of Allah, falls into sins, falls into disobedience, and his life shall become difficult and constricted, and he will be subjected to tests, will be subjected to calamities and afflictions. He will not be in a life of tranquility, nor peace, nor rest. Surely he will not experience joy, but rather he will be moving from one tribulation to the next, from one test to the next, from one calamity to the next. Surely this is from the examples of the dangers of sin.
ومن ذلك قول الله تعالى: ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون. يقول تعالى: ظهر الفساد. والفساد هو اضطراب الأحوال وظهور الشر والفساد وظهور الشر والمفاسد والمحن. ومن ذلك كما قال السلف: نقصان البركة، فلا يجد الإنسان في حياته بركة، لا يجد بركة في ماله أو بدنه أو زوجه أو ولده. ومن الفساد كما قالوا أيضا بعض العقوبات القدرية كمنع القطر الذي هو المطر، والجفاف، والزلازل، ونحو ذلك من العقوبات التي تحصل في هذه الدنيا. فهذه الألوان من الفساد تظهر بأي شيء. يقول تعالى: بما كسبت أيدي الناس، أي بما اقترفوا من المعاصي والسيئات. ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا، أي ليعاقبهم ببعض ذنوبهم وخطاياهم لعلهم يرجعون، أي لعلهم يتوبون ويؤوبون إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى فيتركوا هذه المعاصي التي أوقعتهم في هذا الشر. نعم.
Surely ruin has become clearly apparent in the land and in the sea by that, due to that which was not by the hands of the people. So let them taste some of that which they have committed, such that perhaps they will repent. Herein, the Lord Tabarak wa Ta'ala mentions that ruin has become apparent in the land and the sea. And ruin, she explains, is the changing of affairs to the evil. And the propagation and wide and spreading of difficulties and tests and tribulations, the like of which is mentioned by the Salaf, may Allah have mercy upon them, the reduction of blessings in life, such that an individual will not find blessings in his life, will not find an increased level of goodness in his life, whether it is his money will be lacking blessings, or his children, or his wife, or in his health and his body. And likewise, from the affairs that fall under the category of ruin becoming apparent in the land, is some of the calamities that are afflicting the people in mass, such as the matter of drought and not having rain, and the matter of earthquakes, and the like of which, from the widespread calamities that befall people in this life. Why do the likes of these matters of ruin appear? As Allah has explained in the verse, by that which the hands of the people have wrought in, by the sins they have committed, by the disobedience that they have fallen into. And what is the reason for this? يُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلْ. So that he will let them taste some of that which they have committed. Let them experience consequences of their actions, meaning to punish them for some of that which they have done. The reason being, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ, is that perhaps they will return, meaning return back to their Lord with repentance. Return back to Allah as they were repentant, regretful for that which they have done.
ومن ذلك قول الله تعالى أَوَلَمَّا أَصَابَتْكُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَدْ أَصَبْتُمْ مِثْلَيْهَا قلتم أن هذا قل هو من عند أنفسكم. يقول تعالى أولما أصابتكم مصيبة أي مكروه وبلاء قد أصبتم مثليها أي وقعتم فيما يوجبها قلتم أن هذا أي ما سببه؟ ما سبب هذه المصيبة التي حلت بنا؟ يقول تعالى قل هو من عند أنفسكم أي ما فعلتموه من المعصية والمخالفة هو الذي أوقع بكم هذه المصيبة. وهذه الآية نزلت في غزوة أحد، وما وقع فيها للمسلمين من البلاء، ومعلوم أن ما حصل إنما كان بسبب المخالفة التي وقع فيها بعض الصحابة رضي الله عنهم عندما خالفوا أمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في لزوم أماكنهم. فلما خالفوا أمره عليه الصلاة والسلام حصل ما حصل من البلاء والمصيبة والمكروه. والآية مع ذلك عامة تبين أن المصائب لا تنزل بالمسلم إلا من خلال معاصيه وذنوبه. نعم.
طيب، إن شاء الله خيرا. So the likewise from the examples is that which is found in the book of Allah تبارك وتعالى. His statement: أولما أصابتكم مصيبة قد أصابتم مثليها قلتم أن هذا قل هو من عند أنفسكم. And when a calamity befell you that you have committed the double of which, you said, for what reason were we afflicted with this? Say, surely it is from your own self. Herein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the believers saying, when a calamity befell you, meaning something that you hate and something that is difficult, a tribulation, that you have committed the double of which, meaning that you have done and committed that which makes this calamity deserved, which makes it earned. You said, for what reason is this? Meaning, why were we afflicted and why were we tested with the like of this? Say, it is from your own self. Meaning, say, it is due to that which you have done, that which you have committed from sin and from going against the command of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And it is known this particular verse was revealed at the time or regarding the matter of Battle of Uhud, when people of Islam were afflicted with that which they were afflicted with, from that which is well known. All of this due to going against the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is something that happened when some of the Sahaba did not stay in their designated places, where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made them stand in duty over certain locations, and they did not stay until the designated time, and then that caused the tribulation to be sent upon them, and the punishment to become deserved, and so what happened ended up happening. However, this verse is also general in its scope, such that it clarifies that this is a general phenomenon, that every time the people of Islam fall into sin, disobedience, and not abiding by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the command of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then this is the reason by which tribulation, calamity, affliction, destruction can be brought upon.
ومن ذلك في كتاب الله تعالى ما ذكره الله سبحانه وتعالى كثيرا في كتابه من شأن الأمم السابقة، فإنه أخبرنا جل وعلا أن هذه الأمم هلكت بأشد ألوان العذاب، وما كان ذلك إلا بذنوبهم ومعاصيهم، وأخطرها على الإطلاق الشرك بالله تعالى ومعاندة أنبيائه ورسله. وكان يزيد على هذه المعصية الكبيرة بعض المعاصي الأخرى، كما تراه مثلا في قوم هود عليه السلام من التكبر والعلو في الأرض، وكما تراه في قوم شعيب عليه السلام من النقصان في الكيل والميزان، وكما تراه في قوم لوط عليه السلام من إتيان الرجال، أي مجامعتهم من دون النساء. فبين ربنا تعالى أن هذه الأمم أوقعتها ذنوبها ومعاصيها في مصائب كبيرة وعقوبات شديدة أبادتها واستأصلتها تماما، نسأل الله السلامة والعافية. نعم.
He clarified that likewise from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that which he mentioned abundantly in the book regarding the affair of the destruction of the previous nation. For he, jalla wa ala, has nations were destroyed with the severest of punishment and torture, and there was nothing that caused the destruction to come to them except for their sins and their disobedience. And the most dangerous and vile of their sins is the matter of associating partners with Allah in worship, the matter of polytheism and shirk, followed closely by their matter of stubbornness against the messengers of Allah and His Prophet and what they commanded them. And surely, from the matters that exacerbated the situation and made it worse, is some of the sins that used to accompany that which they had fallen into regarding shirk, such as the people of Hud, alayhi salatu wasalam, falling into the matter of arrogance and stubbornness, and seeking to be haughty in the land. And that which the people of Shu'aib, alayhi salatu wasalam, fell into regarding cheating people in business dealing, and not giving people their full right in their transactions with them. And the like of that which the people of Lut, alayhi salam, fell into regarding sodomy, and having intercourse men with men, and leaving that which Allah made permissible from having relations with women. These are the things that Allah Jalla wa Ala clarified were the reason for the destruction and complete annihilation of these nations.
وأما في السنة النبوية المطهرة فنكتفي في مقامنا هذا بحديث واحد جامع ذكر فيه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعض العقوبات الشديدة التي تقع ببعض الذنوب والمعاصي الكبيرة. وهذا الحديث هو ما أخرجه ابن ماجه وغيره من حديث ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما وصححه العلامة الألباني رحمه الله تعالى أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: يا معشر المهاجرين، خمس إذا ابتليتم بهن وأعوذ بالله أن تدركوهن: لم تظهر الفاحشة في قوم قط حتى يعلنوا بها إلا فشى فيهم الطاعون والأوجاع التي لم تكن مضت في أسلافهم الذين مضوا، ولم ينقصوا المكيال والميزان إلا أخذوا بالسنين وشدة المؤنة وجور السلطان عليهم، ولم يمنعوا زكاة أموالهم إلا منعوا القطر من السماء، ولولا البهائم لم يمطروا. ولم ينقضوا عهد الله وعهد رسوله إلا سلط الله عليهم عدوا من غيرهم فأخذوا بعض ما في أيديهم، وما لم تحكم أئمتهم بكتاب الله ويتخيروا مما أنزل الله إلا جعل الله بأسهم بينهم. نعم. نعم، يعني أنا كنت سأفعل بعد ذكرك لنص الحديث. هل تحتاج إلى ذكر الغريب الآن؟ طيب، يعني لو أمكن أن تذكر نص الحديث ثم أنا بعد ذلك أتعرض له للشرح.
Then we will suffice ourselves tonight with one hadith from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A hadith great in its scope and tremendous in its benefit. Now which is narrated by Imam Ibn Majah rahmatullah alayhi and others from the scholars of hadith on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. And this hadith was authenticated by Shaykh Nasir ibn al-Albani, may Allah have mercy upon him, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya ma'ashar al-muhajirin. Oh, people from the Muhajirin, from the migrants. Five things if you are afflicted with, and I seek the refuge of Allah, that I shall not leave you long enough to face these things. And then he began enumerating them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said, surely, fahisha did not become apparent in people such that they openly practice it, except that they will be afflicted with the plague and different ailments that were not known to their predecessors that have gone by before them. Surely, the people have cheated in weight and in quantity, meaning in business transactions and dealing, except that they will be punished with general drought, famine, and the difficulty of obtaining provisions, and likewise afflicted with the unfairness and injustice of their rulers. Surely no people have withheld paying the yearly charity, the zakat, of their money, except that Allah will hold back from them the rain of the heaven. Surely, had it not been for the animals roaming the land along their side, they would not get any rain. Surely no people will break the covenant between them and Allah, and between them and his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except that Allah will afflict them with empowering their enemies against them in order to take some of their belongings from them. And surely no people will have their rulers rule by other than that which is in the book of Allah, and choose from the best of that which Allah has revealed, except that Allah will place their enmity between them and make infighting occur between
them. يبين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم شيئا من أثر المعاصي على المجتمع من خلال ذكره لبعض المعاصي الكبيرة وما يترتب عليها من العقوبات الخطيرة، فذكر صلى الله عليه وسلم أولا الفاحشة التي هي الزنا. قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: لم تظهر الفاحشة في قوم قط حتى يعلنوا بها، أي إذا ظهر الزنا في مجتمع وصار أمرا معلنا ظاهرا والعياذ بالله، إلا فشى فيهم الطاعون، وهو مرض معروف، وباء معروف، والأوجاع التي لم تكن مضت في أسلافهم، فعندئذ يعاقبهم الله تعالى بأمراض جديدة لم تكن قد ظهرت من قبل. وهذا يتضح لنا من خلال ذلك المرض الخبيث الذي عرف في العصور المتأخرة، والذي هو الإيدز. ومعلوم أن هذا المرض من أعظم أسبابه فاحشة الزنا والعياذ بالله. نعم.
شيخ جزاه الله خيرا. في سلمس حديث the Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم clarified for us and taught us regarding some of the effects of sins upon societies by mentioning some of these major sins and what heinous affairs and results occur due to them. So he began firstly with mentioning al-fahisha, and al-fahisha is fornication. That whenever the fahisha, the zina, the matter of fornication, having illicit sexual relations, becomes so apparent in the people that they actually publicly practice this and don't hide it, and it is something that is common in the people. Once this becomes common and well known and public, seek the refuge of Allah from that, the people will then be afflicted with al-ta'un. And al-ta'un is the plague, a well known disease that is calamitous in its effects, is extremely fast in its spreading. It is the like of a pandemic or an epidemic. And also, al-awja'a allati lam takun madat fi aslafi, and diseases that they had not learned of in their forefathers, in their previous generation, meaning that Allah Jalla wa Ala will afflict them with new diseases that they had no knowledge of prior to that point. And from the well-known examples of these new diseases that have recently begun spreading tremendously in the dunya and in the world, is that vile disease known as AIDS. And it is well known that from the greatest reasons of the spreading of AIDS is fornication and illicit relations.
ثم ذكر صلى الله عليه وسلم معصية أخرى وهي نقصان الكيل والميزان، أي الغش في ذلك وإعطاء الشخص أقل مما يستحق، فإذا وقع ذلك قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: إلا أخذوا بالسنين. والسنين جمع سنة، وهي الجدب والقحط، أي الجفاف وعدم نزول المطر من السماء. وأيضا قال: وشدة المؤنة، أي المشقة والضيق في المعيشة. وقال أيضا: وجور السلطان عليهم، أي ظلمه وغشمه وعدم نشره للعدل ونشره للظلم. فهذا كله يحدث إذا وقع النقصان في الكيل والميزان. نعم.
جزاه الله خيرا. Said, and then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned an additional sin, and that being the matter of reducing the measures of weight and measures of quantity and kayl wal mizan, which is basically when you're dealing with an individual and there's a transaction going on, you don't give them their full due. Such that if an individual purchased something from you that weighs such and such, you will give them less than the amount that they had bargained for, and you trick them, giving them less than what is rightfully theirs and what they have fully paid for. She has explained, Jazakallah khairan, that whenever a people do this, they will be afflicted by what is known as a sineen. And a sineen is plural for the word sana. And it is when people are afflicted with drought and a dry season and lack of growth of plants and the lack of the falling of rain, which will cause a drought and a famine to begin. And likewise, from the punishment for this particular sin is shiddat al-mu'na, that it is difficult for them to engage in their livelihood and obtain sufficient provision. Likewise, the third punishment is jawr al-sultan, unfairness, and the injustice of their rulers, such that their rulers will not be fair to them. Their rulers will, instead of spreading fairness and justice, will actually spread the opposite of that which is injustice and zulm. They will spread transgression. And all of this is the result of that particular.
نعم هل انتهيت؟ أنا. ثم ذكر صلى الله عليه وسلم معصية أخرى وهي منع الزكاة وعدم أدائها، قال: ولم يمنعوا زكاة أموالهم إلا منعوا القطر من السماء، أي عاقبهم الله تعالى بعدم إنزال المطر عليهم. قال: ولولا البهائم لم يمطروا، أي لولا وجود الأنعام والدواب التي لا ذنب لها فيما حدث، لولا ذلك لمنع الله تعالى المطر تماما، نسأل الله السلامة والعافية. نعم.
And that is the withholding of the yearly charity, withholding of the money of zakah, such that no people will stop paying their zakah and refuse to fulfill this obligation, except that Allah Azza wa Jal will withhold from them the rain of the heavens. So this is the punishment for that particular sin. And then he explained, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that had it not been for the animals, they will not be rained. Had it not been for the animals living with them and being upon the same land with them, and these animals not having any sin and not having no part in this particular crime, then Allah Azza wa Jal would not have rained, let the rain fall at all. So the only reason they get some rain is due to the animals, and had it not been for the animals being there, then surely the heavens would not rain, not a single time.
ثم ذكر صلى الله عليه وسلم نقض العهد، وهو من المعاصي أيضا، ونقض العهد هو عدم الوفاء به. قال: إلا سلط الله عليهم عدوا من غيرهم فأخذوا بعض ما في أيديهم. فإذا وقع نقض العهد سلط على المسلمين العدو يأخذ منهم بعض ما في أيديهم من الأموال أو الأرض أو نحو ذلك، فهذه عقوبة أخرى نعوذ بالله منها. نعم.
And he said, وَلَمْ يَنْقُضُوا عَهْدَ اللَّهِ وَعَهْدَ رَسُولِهِ. Surely no people have broken the covenant between them and Allah and between them and His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. Surely this is a sin as well. The matter of not fulfilling their part of the covenant between them and their Lord عز وجل. Except that they would be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inflicting upon them an enemy and Allah empowering the enemy against them, such that the enemy will take from them that which is in their hands, such as taking from them some of their money, or perhaps taking some of their assets or their children.
ثم ذكر عليه الصلاة والسلام معصية أخرى وهي عدم الحكم بما أنزل الله. قال: وما لم تحكم أئمتهم بكتاب الله ويتخيروا أن يطلبوا الخير مما أنزل الله إلا جعل الله بأسهم بينهم، أي سلط بعضهم على بعض يؤذي بعضهم بعضا ويضر بعضهم بعضا، كمثل ما يحدث بين المسلمين من الاقتتال وأخذ الأموال وانتهاك الأعراض ونحو ذلك، فهذا كله عقوبة للحكم بغير ما أنزل الله. نعم.
من شيخ جزاه الله خيرا proceeded on to the fifth matter mentioned by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said, and if their leaders do not rule by the book of Allah, meaning they leave off ruling by the rules of Allah jalla wa ala, and leave off seeking goodness out of that which was revealed by Allah, except that Allah will afflict them by making their strength and their enmity against one another. So, basically, Allah Azza wa Jalla will place enmity in their hearts until they will end up arguing and bickering with one another, in fact harming one another. An example of this is that which is seen today amongst the people of Islam, infighting, taking arms against one another, spilling the blood of one another, and taking the money of each other. Surely even the matter of harming one another in honor and in family.
من خلال ما سبق أيها الإخوة يتبين لنا كخلاصة أن المعاصي تضر المجتمع وتفسده من الناحية الأخلاقية والسلوكية والدينية وتجعله معرضا أيضا للعقوبات القدرية الشديدة العامة التي تصيب المجتمع كله، فيكون من جراء ذلك فساد عظيم. نسأل الله السلامة والعافية. هذه هي خلاصة المحاضرة في ختامها ونهايتها، وأقول أخيرا منبها على أمر مهم